Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Razabani for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. Delighted to have with me on Zoom on this lovely day, Mr. Dave Caldwell. Dave, the sun's out. Everyone's smiling.
Always smiling when the weather's good, isn't it? Although, I don't know, news would want you to be scared of it. But yeah, I'm enjoying it and will embrace it. It's summertime. You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to enjoy the weather.
No, absolutely. We hardly get any sun, so let's enjoy it while it's here. How are the boys in the gym, Dave? How's Jordan, Lerone, Hopi, and the rest?
Good. Jordan's fine. He just started this week, gone, using his right hand in sparring, just touching, just getting that timing on there, and it felt comfortable. So it's good to see him punching with two hands again now, and he's the time, the downtime that he had, it allowed his knee to heal as well. So his balance and everything's great. So he's in a good place. He's looking very, very good. Hopefully mid-September, October, he'll be back out and fighting again.
Lerone and Hopi?
Yeah, Hopi's fighting August 6th. So he's got his last 2 weeks of sparring now. Looking sharp, looking very good, improving all the time. Excited about getting him back out. Lerone. He's absolutely brilliant. I've said it before. He's outstanding. Just need his career moving along, to be honest.
Any potential new signings coming to the gym, Dave?
No, not at the moment. I'm happy with my lot. I've always said that five's always the max. Like five full timers are always the max. I'm on four full-timers plus Sultan when he's back over from Kazakhstan. So yeah, I'm quite happy, to be honest. And we've got a good mix, got a good vibe in the gym. I'm just enjoying it.
Dave, just want to go back last weekend. A man you know very well, Derek Chisora, put on a performance to beat Kubrat Pulev. You know Derek for a long time. Even before training him, I know you've had a close relationship. What did you make of his performance, first of all?
He did well. I'm so pleased that he got the win, especially in front of his family and his kids were there, and that was a nice touch at the end when he saw the pictures at the end. And he got a little bit emotional in the ring when he spoke, and you know, I think that tells you that he knows that he's coming towards the end, and there's not going to be too many nights like that. So I think when you're younger and you keep winning and you know the crowds are turning out for you, I think you sometimes it's easy to not take it all in and enjoy it in the moment because you always think about what's next and what have you. And sometimes you kind of take it for granted. And then when you know that you're coming towards the end, and then when you get a night like he did where, you know, it's a hard-fought fight, a close fight, he gets the decision, he gets the win, front of the fans, in front of his family, he soaked it in and he's enjoyed that, and it's meant the world to him. So I'm really pleased for him.
Dave, you know he obviously had three losses, obviously Usyk, Parker. Do you feel like if he had lost the Pulev fight, he would have probably called it a day? Or do you think with his mentality, he would have just carried on?
Who knows with Derek? The problem is while ever he's feeling the love, while ever he's getting the paychecks, he's a fighter that just loves to fight. So they're the reasons why he wants to do what he's doing. So I don't know. I don't know if it'd have jacked him out. That's something you need to speak to him about.
What would you like to see him do next? There's talks about a potential another fight with Dillian White, which I think would be great, a third one for the fans. Both of them at tail end of their career now. I know White might have a little bit more left in him, but there's also talk about, I know it's unrealistic and it's probably not going to happen, but a lot of criticism that Eddie mentioned Deontay Wilder's name again last week. What would you do, Dave?
Listen, I've said it before. I've said it to him. I've said it publicly. I would like him to retire, but he's not going to, is it? And ultimately, Derek's going to do what he wants to do. But I would like him to retire because it's retiring on the crest of a wave. Do you know what I mean? It'd be a nice time, but he's not going to. As a fan, you've got to love the Dillian White fight, haven't you? I think it's it's always going to be a good battle between those two. Whatever they've got left, they will give it their all on fight night if coming up against those two, coming up against each other. So that's always a great fight. Forget a Wilder fight for me. Dillian White, Areola, they're kind of like, not the fun fights, but the problem is when you're then talking about, I'm just talking about he's not going to retire, he's going to carry on, obviously he's not going to fight Journeyman or anything like that. He wants fights that are going to challenge him. Dillian White's always going to be a really good fight for him, and always going to get him up for it. But I wouldn't want him to see him in. I wouldn't want to see him in fights where he's a massive underdog going in against like really, really dangerous one punch knockout artists and fresher fighters and things like that. I wouldn't want to see that. But ultimately, it's none of my business, and he'll do what he want to do.
Dave, it's crazy to think that he's had about 11 or 12 losses now, but 95% of those losses have come at the highest potential level. It's crazy that he's been able to mix it at the highest level for so long.
That's a testament to him. What a fighter he is, what a warrior he is. One of the toughest of our generation. He's a man that you think he's finished and he keeps bouncing back. And that's down to his sheer will and attitude, really. And sometimes in how we look at him and think, you might not agree with how he is and what he'll do sometimes. That's part of his makeup, and that's part of why he's still here. That's part of, why he's still, although he's got, 12 whatever losses on his record, you can't say he's not a successful fighter, because look at what he's done. He's fought at the highest level. No, he's not beating the guys at the highest level, but he's fought at the top level in the division over years and years. And he's made a lot of money out of the game, and he's got the respect of the fans. So he is successful. He is successful. He might not have the belts to show it, and the accolades in those terms, but you've got to deem what is success. Not everybody is going to be a world champion. Otherwise, it'd be a mute sport. It wouldn't be worth anything. It's whatever sport it is. There's always the elite. There's always the top levels. And so, 99% of people that take part in sport aren't going to make it to the absolute elite and be successful at that. But there are other levels of success. For some people, just turning their lives around and not end up in prison and not, end up being killed in outside activities and finding a career in boxing and actually, getting on the straight and narrow, that is a success story. That is successful. Anyone that's doing anything positive with their life, I think, is a level of success. So somebody that's all right is maybe not won the big, big fights and not won the world titles. If you look at his career, the longevity and the levels that he's fought and the shows that he's been on and the fans that have been there to witness him fight and the respect that he's got with the fans, it's been a successful career.
Absolutely. So we look forward to see what's next with Derek. So I'm sure there'll be an announcement in the coming weeks. Dave, a lot of strong rumours in the boxing world at the moment. Gareth Davis says it's signed, it's sealed. Chris Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn. It's just mad to think that their fathers had this incredible rivalry.
It's unreal.
And their sons will one day fight each other in a huge domestic fight. Firstly, what do you make of that fight?
It's mad. It is mad. I have to think, you know, like you say, Ben Eubank, I started, I first walked into the gym. I think the first Ben Eubank fight was on a Sunday, if I remember rightly. And I walked into a boxing gym for the first time on the Monday, the next day. Or 2 days, if it was a Saturday, I can't remember. I'm sure it was a Sunday night. But yeah, that's my generation. That's you know, I love Nigel Benn. I was a big Nigel Benn fan, huge Nigel Benn fan. But obviously, it's Chris Eubank as well, and that rivalry was huge as a young kid, young fighter coming through. And then to fast forward to today, I'm now what, 47, and so to fast forward to my time of life now, and to see these two fighters now, sons that have been on, you know, been on different paths because obviously different weights now. Obviously, having them in the same sport at the same time has been good, you know, kind of Ben name, kind of Eubank name. But then now they're going to be on a collision course. That's just mind-blowing. That's just mad. And to think that Conor's going to jump up in weight divisions for it, again, listen, the kids, I love the kid's attitude. He, you know, he just wants the fights, he wants to test himself, he wants to, you know, and that's a real test. Jumping up weight divisions is no joke. It's, you know, certain fighters can get away with it, but when you're going against people that are strong at that weight already, and let's, for all his criticisms that he's had throughout his career and about his boxing ability and things like that, one thing that nobody's ever said about Eubank is that he's not strong, he's not tough, he can't take a shot. He checks all those boxes. So for you as a little guy to go up and to take that challenge on, you know you're in for a really tough night. You know you're in for a tough night. So that tells a lot about the man himself. So for all respect in the world for Conor for wanting that fight and for looking to make that fight, you know, it's a fight that everybody's going to be talking about. Everybody's going to be tuning in. You know, it's an exciting fight. Is it something that came out of blue and as a shock to me? Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Conor Benn as a welterweight prospect being built up, get the timing right, and then launch him into world level at welterweight. And all of a sudden, this has come out of the blue, and it's like you're coming off that path for this fight. And, you know, fighters have moved up in weight division before, and what it's not something that's like brand new. It's not something that's never been done. But in terms of career stages and the fighters that they are, it is a surprise to me.
Dave, you talk about it's not going to be easy for Conor to go up in weight. What about for Chris to come down in weight? There's rumours that it could be at 156, 157. He's never made that weight before. He's actually fought heavier than his standard weight, 160. He's fought at 168. So how much of a challenge is it going to be for Chris Jr. to come down in weight?
So he's done 168 and then he's been boxing at 160 recently, hasn't he? Without knowing the guy and without seeing how he makes weight, we can only speculate. If he's, you know, he might have, for all we know, he might have been comfortable at 160 with nutritionists on board, with, you know, with changes of training and things like that. He might have been comfortable doing 160. And if so, then 3 pounds, it'll be a struggle. It'll be more of a struggle, but it might be doable. And in the point where he can recover properly, anyone can hit a weight, but how well do they recover? What does it take out of the performance? And that's the intriguing thing for this fight. But without knowing, again, with Eubank, it's always been, you know, a lot of speculation about, oh, he should be doing this, he should be doing that. But we don't know what he does. We don't know, because they only let certain information out. Sometimes, you know, certain camps, you send out red herrings. to get people off the scent, you know? Or it spars everywhere, does it? Or what caliber? Or, you know, you don't know, because people only tell you what they want to tell you, and for whatever reason. And so we don't know how he makes a weight. If he struggles to make 160, then 157 is going to be brutal. But fighters have done it before, you know, and it's all about how do they recover after. I remember, I think it was Figueroa boxed Ricky Burns out in America, and Figueroa was absolutely dead on the scales. He literally had to be carried to the scales, and we was like, he's going to be absolutely dead tomorrow. Wait, he's killed him. And then he had an injury on him, like you've never known him. He looked massive on the night, and he had this injury. And he just kept. Some fighters have just built different. So, but it's all part of the ingredients into this mad pot, you know, that is going to be Ben Eubank Jr. if that gets made. But it is interesting to see what weight it's going to be at as well.
Just want to get your thoughts. Obviously, Joe Gallagher did a couple of interviews this week where he spoke about the fight and said that, you know, Conor hasn't won an English, an area, or a British, Commonwealth, European. He's kind of skipped all of that. And yes, we're trying to make the big fights for him, which are unrealistic because those fighters that he wants, the Thurmans, Broners, Spence Crawford, they're with PBC and their relationship with Eddie Hearn isn't great. We saw that recently with Klonacki trying to fight Chisora and that fight not taking place. But he said, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is that if it wasn't Ben Eubank, those names associated with these gentlemen, you know, the board may not even sanction a guy who hasn't even had a 12-round fight to go up and fight another guy coming down 2 weights.
He's right in what he's saying. In the board probably won't sanction it. You know, we've seen it where we've always had this thing where sometimes there's disagreements with the board where on certain shows they allow this fight to go on, but on a you got me?
Yeah.
Wind. But on certain shows, there's small shows and what have you, then they're a lot stricter on that, you know, caliber opponents that they let slide on big shows, they don't let on the small shows. So in reference to same sort of scenario for this, yeah, he's probably right where that, you know, might not be allowed, but it's going to be allowed. It's because they can counter that one with fighters have always moved up in weight, and it's one of those things. And just because he hasn't won like you said, an English, a British, Commonwealth, any sort of title like that, but he's been fighting good caliber opponents, all right, at different stages of career. But all prospects do that. All fighters do that. You know, when you're developing a fighter, and if you go through the dads of these two fighters as well, you know, in their careers, going back to those days, it was the same sort of thing. You get to a point in the career where you start getting the names that fans know, but the faded, they're on the slide, and you bring them over, hopefully they get rid of them, and everyone goes mad and the hype train blows up even more. That's just how it's always been. So he has bought some good quality fighters. So it's not like he's not, you know, he's not experienced in that at all. But I understand what Joe's saying, and I agree that in other aspects it wouldn't be allowed, but it will be allowed. And what are you going to do? It's one of those things. It's like saying, how's he got a world title shot when he's not fought for a year and he's not boxing away? And they get it. This is boxing. This is sport. This shit happens all the time. So, and it's always when it's your fighter, you're always going to be happy about it happening. And when it's not your fight, you're always going to go, canal, how's that happened? It's just how we all are. I'm the exact same. So, you know, you look at it and you'll be pissed off that somebody else has got a shot and what have you. But then if your fighter was offered the same shot with the same sort of background and the same sort of path that he's been on at the time, are you going to turn around and say no? No, you're going to take it. And sometimes, you know, opportunities come to you and sometimes they don't. But this is going to be a huge fight and it will get made. It's going to be an absolutely huge fight.
Let me ask you then, Dave, does that fight belong on Sky or DAZN in terms of the engine, the platform of who can promote this to the biggest.
Yeah, but then you're getting into the whole that question, I don't feel is something that needs to be asked about every fight, because otherwise you're talking about it with AJ, what you're going to do is bring it up for every big fight. You know, so should it be on DAZN? Should it be on Sky? We all know that Sky is the biggest platform. Facts. It's a fact. But if they're not Sky fighters, I don't know what the situation is with Eubank Jr. I don't know if he's a Sky fighter or not. I don't know. But if they're not Sky fighters and it's the DAZN fighter in Ben against a free agent, then why wouldn't it end up on DAZN? That's what they're in the business for, is to get the fights like that. But in terms of eyes and exposure, Sky all day. You can't beat that machine, you know? And it's been the same for years and years and years. And even when you get certain pay-per-views on Sky and you think, that's not pay-per-view, I'm not buying that. And you think you're not going to buy it, and it comes to fight week and they're pumping it. And there's all the content and it's in your face. You walk into an hotel, you walk into a pub, you see it. You walk into Ballantyne's gym or something, you see it on the screens on Sky Sports News. You start going, do you know what? This looks good. I'm good. And you end up buying it. You know? The problem is with other platforms right now is you don't have that constant drip feed into your mind. You don't have that exposure. You know? The problem with other platforms right now, and it's not just DAZN, it's other, you know, BT. If you're not tuned to BT all day, you won't know. But BT, even Channel 5, and DAZN, you don't have that constant bombardment coming up to the fire, and so you might forget there's a show until you see somebody mention it on your feed, and it's like, shit, boxing on tonight, or it's boxing on next week. You know, and until platforms become as big as that or start using their, it's like with Channel 5. Channel 5 gets great viewing figures. So there, but I don't watch Channel 5 apart from boxing. So I don't know what their adverts and things are like during the peak programs and things like that. If that's what they're doing, then that's why they're getting great viewing figures. Because I think what I heard is they're getting like a million. You know, if you're getting a million views for the shows, that's amazing. And that's without having, like, some, you know, it's constantly on ticker bars, things like that, you know. So they're doing a great job for that. But yeah, DAZN, it's great content, great programming. They're getting some great coverage and things like that, behind the scenes stuff. But as far as the shows are concerned, it's not getting that exposure. I don't think so. It's only my opinion, but I don't think so.
Dave, I'll end on this. I remember you telling me a number of years ago about how you once worked with Eddie Hearn and put almost everything you had financially into a show and making shows work for the sake of fans and the sake of fighters. We always talk about the more networks in boxing, the better for boxing. But currently we're seeing, obviously, as you mentioned, Channel 5, Sky Sports, DAZN, BT, etc. But a lot of fans are complaining that the cards are too thin. You know, do promoters now need to put egos aside and work with each other to make bigger fights for fans?
I think so. But I think they've always needed to do that. But it's always been a problem. It's always been a problem. But I'd love them to work together. I mean, for the sport and for the fighters, because if they obviously want the fights, the big fights, with the big fights comes the big money, then, you know, they've got to work together. But are they going to? And when you're talking about, you know, people talking about, oh, it's the quality is diluted and things like that. Well, there's still, if you've got this stable of fighters, you can still put on good fight, that you can still put on shows and put on good fights with that stable of fighters that you've got. If you're not putting on shows and if fighters aren't getting made, then fighters are going to be like, oh well, I'll go over to this one, and then your sales getting diluted. But it's always been the same. Fighters have always jumped ship, and they always will jump ship. It's part of boxing. Just like promoters say, you know, it's they see it from a business end. The fighters, you know, promoters can go and sign another fighter, whereas the fighters have only got one career, and if their career is just nothing's happening with it, they've got to make the right decision for themselves. But ultimately, the promoter is in charge of the content that goes on their shows, and what sort of fights you're putting on, who you're putting on, who are they choosing to push. That's the promoter, because that's his business, that's his money, and so he's gonna spend it as he sees fit. So if the show's shit, it's the promoter's fault, because ultimately it's his show, you know. And he chose what kind of fights won, because a matchmaker can come to him and say, look, we're going to make this fight. But if promoter just goes, yeah, all right, that's fine, and he knows that it's trash, then ultimately it comes down to him.
They just finally...
Every promoter, and we've always had this. We've always had lulls, and we've always had times where the shows aren't as great as what they were a couple of years ago. And sometimes that comes when you're rebuilding. And I think there's a lot of promoters that are building and rebuilding at the moment. You know, you look at Sky and Boxer, they're rebuilding at the moment. It's literally like you've got a championship, a Champions League winning team, and then they all go elsewhere, and then you're left with bare bones. Or in Sky's case, I think they were left with nobody, obviously, and then they've now got to rebuild completely again. You can't expect that team then to go out and start and keep winning Champions Leagues next season, things like that. It's a brand new team. It's a time to settle in. It's time to build. And so, like with Boxer and Sky, they're building right now. So, of course, if you're building and you've got fighters at a certain level, then you're not going to have the 50-50 fights, because you've got to build them. You've got to build them through. So the majority of shows are going to be spent on building the talent for a year's time, 18-month time. And then it's a case of them getting the headliners like they are doing and trying to do, where to get in the headliners, so then they can make the bigger marquee fights. But at the same time, they've got to keep them winning, because that's kind of like the flagship to pull the other kids through. It's just like back in the day when, you know, you've got Nigel Benn, superstar, then you're building the other fighters through, and then the next, you know, like your Hattons and people like that started off as prospects on undercards of NASA and people like that, and then they become the one that takes over. You need somebody to be able to build the rest of the show on the back of, and the prospects on the back of. And it's the same with, you know, DAZN. They've got, or Eddie's got, obviously his stable that he took with him, so his is ready made, so he could just go straight into it. But Channel 5 and what's their building, and so on, and everybody's doing the same thing. You look at Warren. He was, for a couple of years, a few years, I'm not being funny, his shows were poor, and everyone was saying they were poor, but he was in a kind of a process of rebuilding. He didn't really have any big names as such, so he was trying to build his fighters through. And now, as you're going along now, I watched the show last night and I enjoyed it. His last few shows now, they're getting where those prospects are starting to step up, so the good fights and things like that, he's got, you know, getting good domestic fights on, good domestic battles on. I mean, Efron and Clark last night, great fight, you know. So now his quality is lifted, and you know, and that's what happens. It sometimes you have a dip where stable's a bit thin or whatever, and it's a case of rebuilding, driving through, and then coming back. But you've got to have that focus and intent to want to do that, because if you haven't, and if you know that's not your focus, then it's just a spiral that goes all the way down, and you know, and then there's a long time to get back to the top as such.
Dave, just finally, just 2 minutes left before the Zoom ends. Outside of your stable, if you could name me three fighters who you think have the talent or superstardom to go on and become a superstar in boxing in the UK, who are those three?
Given time and the right, well, listen, Conor Benn's got X Factor written all over him. You know that. So, but he's, for me, he's one of the most improved fighters in Britain, without a doubt, and one of the most improved in the world. If you look at where he was to what he is now, the kid's improved massively because of his personality, because of how he is, and because of the name, obviously, that he's built on. You've got to say that he's somebody. If he keeps winning, then he's a superstar. Who else is that? There's a difference, superstar and a star. You know, you've got kids like Dalton Smith that keep winning, that keep progressing. He's got a great following. He's you know, and he's talent. He's class. You've got Pat McCormack, who's got character, unbelievable ability. I don't know how that character goes out to the masses. I don't know. I don't know without sitting down and thinking about it and looking at it. I don't know. There's nobody that jumps out and grabs me because I can't think of this at this moment in time. But I'm sure we always say, as every generation ends, we start looking around at the next crop and you think, oh, well, who's gonna take over from Ben? Who's gonna take over from you, Ben? Who's gonna take over from Naz? Calzaghe. There's always somebody that takes over. There's always somebody that comes through, you know? So I'm sure we'll find one, and it's the promoters that have got to develop them and build them. It's ultimately those guys. They look around their stable and they go, him, and then they throw the weight behind him and or her, and they build them up, and they build them up. They get them out on all these different platforms, get them doing these appearances, to start getting them exposure going higher and higher, and then they build them up, build them up, build them up, and that's ultimately. That's how it'll work.
Dave Cobo for IFL TV. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Matt. Sports Social Podcast Network.